This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I'm Asia, and we are back. We are back to talk about season 14, Married at First Sight in Boston. And of course, I'm not here alone. Of course, I am here with some awesome people. And so, Amy, how are you doing?
Well, Asia, it's actually Aim the Game, ATG. You know, everyone's been calling me that for a long time. I don't know. You haven't been calling me that, and really starting to bother me because it's just my cool nickname.
But I don't like games.
ATG, you know, well, like I'll teach you the rules. It's just my nickname. I gotta go with it.
You have to tell every person you come across that that is your nickname.
That's themed, you know, I've got like framed game boards around my room. Just you gotta have a mask that match it, shower curtain, everything.
Right. Yes, that's perfect.
Yes, but I'm very excited about this season and very excited to recap this long premiere where we just have one wedding, but we're used to it, right?
Three, you know, it gets me every time. Every single time I'm shocked that it's 3 hours. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So I had to split it up in two watching sessions.
Yes. And that actually leads to introducing our next person because, as you know, I do co-host The Bachelor Wrap Up, and that just started up. And I don't know why, but Married at First Sight, Bachelor, Bachelorette, they just always seem to line up exactly. I don't know if Married
at First Sight is siblings.
Like come on their tails, but it is a lot, especially with the long episodes that both series tend to do. So as much as I love the show and love talking to you every week, I thought we'd rope somebody else in and see how it goes with having somebody else co-host with you full time so that I can kind of concentrate on Bachelor, Bachelorette.
And you can breathe a little bit.
And my boyfriend is a little bit happy about that to not have like 4 weeknights in a row where I'm just like, we got to do this. Got to watch this. So we are not the only two people that have gotten sucked into the show. So fortunately, we have the amazing Jason Reed. Jason, do you know what you're getting into?
You know, when I sat down to watch the show today and I saw the 3-hour runtime, I was like, do I want to do this? But you know, I could not pass up the opportunity to co-host with your podcasting sister, Asia. So I'm happy to carry the burden for you, Amy. Happy to take it off your shoulders. And I will carry the burden like Atlas carried the world on his shoulders. I hope you all welcome me here because I do have some unfortunate news. I do have still all my baby teeth. So please do not judge me based on that fact. It's something I'm insecure about. And then I watched the episode and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a big deal.
Your teeth never
grew in. No, they didn't.
I'm sorry. There are no baby teeth allowed. That's the one thing I asked. You know, no baby teeth this podcast.
I'll see if I can get some, like, you know, some adult teeth molds or something put in my mouth. I don't know. I'll fix it.
Okay.
Yes, but if you remember, Jason guested with us multiple times, and it's always a riot. And you, like, speaking of burden, you took it upon yourself to binge the show. You know, Asia and I were just like original fans. Or like, okay, right, season at a time. But no, you're like, I'm going to go back and on all these seasons. How far along are you? Did you complete the full cycle?
No, I've stalled a little bit. I still have to watch season 11. is my only blind spot here. But, you know, I do know, like, there are two successful couples from that season, I believe. So I know, like, some names, but that's my blind spot. I'm going to try and fix it pretty soon.
And that's, you know, that's okay. If season 11, it is, I personally really enjoyed season 11. I just feel like they were very likable people. So if that's something that, you know, when this season finally goes off in 6-7 months, then, you know, you can just need a palate cleanser if things don't turn out.
Yeah.
Season 11 is that season.
Okay. Hopefully I can close my gap pretty soon. My gap and my baby. And show
watching. Exactly. Oh man, what a hoot. I mean, I know we have this 3-hour episode to discuss, but season 13, they continued to be season 13. So if you missed out on our coverage of season 13, Married at First Sight Houston, there were 5 couples. And they have continued to deliver in the news category. So we have a few different storylines to hit. So, Amy, which one should we go to first?
Why don't we go to the one that I wasn't really expecting to make any further news, Ryan and Clara. And I haven't seen all the clips we talked before recording that. I didn't watch the kickoff special where there was a segment with Clara, but I did see kind of the social media statements going out that she was on that kickoff special making a statement about the ending of their marriage. And then he had a social media response, I think, ahead of that episode airing.
Yes.
But kind of the two sides to that story. So I guess I'm a little bit more like clued into his side of the story.
Same, because I did not tune in to the the kickoff special, mainly because I just have a thing with watching these quote unquote experts just guess about who's going to stay together, who's going to get divorced.
Didn't they have some, like, fans on that show or something?
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't even have like real people. I was like, we got some fan favorites to talk about. Like, who are these people?
It wasn't
even, like, cast members or experts.
It could have been us. Right? But I'm upset. It wasn't us. Ryan and Clara, from season 12, they got divorced. And, you know, that happened. They did the joint statement and it was like, okay, you know, things just didn't work out. And I'm more clued in on Ryan's side as well. Well, Ryan, he did like a 7 or 8 page Instagram post where he had to swipe through and read. And basically, moral of the story is he just reached a point where he felt like Clara was never going to understand his experience in America as a Black man. And she wasn't taking the time to understand it. And he's like, one day we would have you would have kids and they would be Black. And so it would be really helpful if you were to understand that experience, to understand what some of the things that your child could face going through life. And he mentioned this thing such as like, oh, she came over to his family's house and they offered her a plate of food. And she said no without giving a reason, or she didn't have any dietary restrictions or anything. And then was just on her phone the whole time, where it's like, and then Black culture, you know, whether you're hungry or not, you take a little something. It's just like a little sign of respect, you know, even if it's just, I'll take, you know, just a cookie, you know, something.
It sounded like they put some chitlins and pig feet on it. She was like, no, thank you. That looks gross. Or so you said something like crazy like that.
Right. And then he also, I mean, we saw him wearing like Black Lives Matter shirt throughout the season. And he did talk about how like, he chose to have a lot of the conversations they had off camera out of respect for her, just to not put all of that stuff out there. And he's not trying to say she's racist or anything. He's just saying that she lacks that understanding that he would want her to try to have and try to learn. And so, just didn't work out. But I don't know what she's saying, because he kind of made it seem like she's saying things publicly that are kind of not correct.
From what I heard from the overview, like I heard someone recapping kind of what it was about. From what I recall, it seemed kind of like his family didn't approve of her, but then you hear his side, you're like, well, and then that whole, that he couldn't really get over that, that scene when she was talking about their sex life. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm doing this for you kind of
thing. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe that whole, I can see how upsetting it would be to just have one side being asked to present their side of the story. And yeah, so I kind of read Ryan's statement. I was like, well, I don't think I need to see Clara's side, to be honest.
Right.
I was like, this seems like he's got 8 pages of evidence here.
Yeah. I was like,
it sounded like Clara had some like Karen-ish tendencies that he was saving her from on camera, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but
yeah.
Maybe, you know, it didn't work in this way.
Right. So there's that. I know she's pretty active on TikTok. And she does still have his name on Instagram, at least. And so, not sure if she's going to change that. I mean, it's a pretty cool last name. Right. So, you know, if I had Oubre, I'd probably hang on to it a little bit longer, too.
Initials are CEO. So I think.
Right. Even right. She's like, how am I going to rebrand? So that's it for Ryan and Clara. And then we had just a small update with Rachel and Rose from last season. They are no longer together.
Are we shocked?
No, I think everyone saw this coming.
No shock there. I think it was interesting though. They did not do a joint statement. It was Rachel posting this really cute video of their memories together, but her caption was about them not working out, and Jose just didn't address it.
He didn't put out any statement.
No, I didn't see anything on his Instagram unless I missed it.
You know what? That kind of fits. I feel like he's probably more of a little more private guy anyway.
Yeah, he has been posting pictures with different women. I don't know. I just feel like it's weird when you don't do it before and then after the breakup, you do it. It's just like, what's the motivation? Mm-hmm. Are you all of a sudden you're just hanging out with all of these?
I'm trying to show off now.
Like. Right. So, and then I think the last story, which you must be completely off Instagram, completely off Twitter if you don't know about this story.
Big yikes.
Do you have just a high level recap, Jason?
Well, apparently we have, you know, a lot of allegations against Zachary from last season about cheating on Val, and the different evidence has come to light, and the young lady that's going on different podcasts, different interviews, talking about their interactions, some very graphic interactions.
Yes.
Has there been any, like, because I haven't seen all the correspondence, has there been any statement from Val or anything, or even from Zach?
From Val, no. Val has posted like a meme just about, I think it was just like, it was one quick, like, things aren't going well right now. Like, this is me. And it was just like trying to keep it together. Nothing really sad. It was just like a kind of like a funny meme, just like trying to hang in there. But basically the way it happened was he's been seeing this woman he was seeing this woman. Her name is Elena. While the season was going on, he used the excuse that the show was going on, so he couldn't post anything about them being with each other. And then on Thanksgiving, Zach was with Bao's family. She posted about it. Elena confronted him about it. And then everything broke loose. So she posted all about it on Reddit. And she's done multiple interviews. But yeah, since all that happened, I have not seen an update. Zach did post like, oh, I'm going to come out with it, or I'm going to go live and answer all the questions you have. He never did. And Bao has just been posting about her adventures, like going on hikes and stuff. So she hasn't really addressed that either. It just feels like she has moved on, which thank God. And yeah, I guess that's a wrap on it. I mean, I think Elena had, like, you know, she had her couple of weeks where everybody was really interested, and then now people like moved on. So I haven't really seen much from her, and I don't follow her on Instagram or anything. So
yeah, I think we can close the book on the journey of Zach and like who Zach, we period. Thought he was and who we kind of know he is now.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think Michaela maybe gets some redemption here through her actions on the show and maybe what we did and didn't see.
Yeah, she has posted recently long post about how she has sought therapy and nothing's wrong with that. And she's been working on herself and watching back. She like realized things. So like it was a very self-reflective post. So I would definitely say go check it out because it for me, it seemed like some growth. I wish the best for her. She's went to the movies with Johnny. And that was like right after the bow. And
Michaela and Johnny?
Yeah. Oh, she said that's she wanted to see, was it, what's the movie? Shang-Chi
yes. or whatever?
Yes. They went to see that. She said she didn't have anyone else to go see it with. So she reached out to her friend, Johnny. And someone was like, oh, I can't. I wish I was a fly on the wall to hear what they talked about. Because it was like, it was like right really after the Elena situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Rachel and Mirla recently just went on a vacation together. They're hanging out a lot. And Rachel, Mirla, Johnny, and Brett hang out a lot in Houston. Mm. So I'm hoping to run into them one of these days. We'll see.
Okay, you're stalking them.
I mean,
it's bound to happen. It'll just be totally natural,
right?
You'll see a live one day where they're at a restaurant. You're gonna just run to your car and try and dash there real quick. What happened to Asia? Oh, she got into a car accident because she was trying to track down the cast of Married at First Sight season 13.
I will say they, so I know what Jim, and I won't say, they post about it all the time, actually. So they go to this place called Cycle Bar, and I know there's only one location because they posted, like, they go to this specific Cycle Bar. And I was at dinner with my boyfriend, and I, like, looked up, and I saw it, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's the one that they go to. So,
oh boy.
Like, how crazy would it be?
I'm exaggerating when I said stalking. That's stalking.
No. They post about it, and hey, I can't help what they put out there. You know.
Yeah. You know, if you have an interest in cycling, you know, checking
right. The cycle bar, exactly. Exactly.
It's a new year. Try something new.
Right. Exactly.
If you have to stay there for 24 hours till one of them walks in, right. Then so be it.
Yeah, if I have to go to every single class for 2 weeks just to run into them, I'm not above it. I'll do anything for Rob Has a Podcast.
Yeah, get the scoop.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's it for Bachelor Married at First Sight news. Actually, one more piece of news: Jamie Otis is out for Unfiltered. There has been no reason confirmed. I just know that they've now rebranded it to be called After Party, and Jamie posted about it on her Instagram saying, like, you know, I'm no longer the host. And she did say it happened suddenly. So it made it seem like this was not her decision. It was a lifetime decision.
I saw actually that she was not told, and the way she found out was a past cast member contacted her and was like, oh, I noticed that you weren't doing it. Like, it was recording. What? She still hadn't been clued in. So not great on Lifetime's part or Married at First Sight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's wild because in her post, she said she's been doing it for 10 seasons.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I was like, shame on me for not watching until like a couple seasons ago. And then even then, it's hit and miss. Like, don't watch it every time.
I had heard that story, but she didn't know, or I didn't know who the host was, but it's Keisha Knight Pulliam of Cosby Show and Celebrity Big Brother fame. I had no idea she was a Married at First Sight super fan.
Is that what she claimed?
Yeah. I mean, I hope she in the middle of it doesn't decide she has to go breastfeed her children. That's what happened on Celebrity Big Brother. Right. Just ditch that show.
Right. Yeah, I mean, hey, I think when people watch one season, people do that with Big Brother. They watch one season and say they're a super fan. So maybe she watched last season and was like, hey, I'm a super fan now. So
yeah, but I just don't know how you like decide to go with a quote unquote super fan rather than like a former cast member that will know what some of these people are going through and can be able to relate to their experience.
I don't know.
I watched After Party and she's fine. She's okay.
She's a host.
I wouldn't say she's any better or worse than Jamie. I mean, I don't know. Not sure what the deal was with why they didn't want to go for it with Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was fine.
I caught it too. They made it more of an after party with a signature cocktail, so they called it Blushing Bride or something like that. They had the Sharpay Mojito, but yeah, I was surprised they didn't go with somebody from a more recent season. I could see maybe okay, not everyone has watched from the beginning, so let's go with someone in that last couple seasons or something, but.
Yeah, it's an odd decision. I mean, maybe someone new came in who's responsible for the Married at First Sight production, and they're like, I don't even know who Jamie Otis is. Season one, how long ago was that?
Who remembers that?
Let's change it up. Or they're like, ratings are low. We need to change something.
Let's get Ree from The Cosby Show. Everyone loves her. Right. That's just a wild choice to me. Like, this is kind of an out of thin air type of thing.
Yeah, Kevin Frazier said, I'm not committing to anything that's weekly.
Oh, right. I'm sure they went to him first.
Yeah, because maybe it was like a little audition last season they had Brianna and Beth on to co-host that like they co-hosted some little special after one of the episodes. Mm. And I thought that was an odd choice. But then I was like, well, maybe they're just trying to see how they are.
Right.
But. Yeah, I don't know what else what else does Jamie do?
Nothing now.
Instagram, I think.
Right. Yeah. I mean, hey. Maybe they're and I don't know what Doug does. So wish Jamie the best. I liked having, someone who's been through it be there to ask questions, but hey, maybe Keisha will surprise us.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, episode one, I know we all watched the matchmaking special. Didn't really get much from that. I don't know about y'all.
No, I remember seeing it and was like, they seemed kind of boring to me. Like, there wasn't a lot of personality in that special. But, after this first episode, I've got some takes on these people. But, the matchmaking special in particular was just like, I got really nothing from it. I couldn't even right now really tell you what happened in that matchmaking special.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that kind of stood out to me was like the experts have upped their game in surprising people. Like it seemed like they faked them out a lot better than they usually do. So that I was pleasantly surprised by that.
Dr. Pepper's routine of you're ready to leave and turning around and saying, hey, by the way, I forgot one thing.
One more thing.
You're getting married in 2 weeks. That's her signature thing now, apparently.
Yeah.
But she did wear an apron. She served a muffin to Nora.
Yeah. That was nice.
Yes. I love when we get to see more of their personalities because they're pretty funny sometimes. I don't know what it is about Dr. Pepper, but she makes me laugh. I was hoping to get some more insight on these couples, but we could start at episode one. We got a lot of context. So the first couple that we'll get into is Katina and Olajuwon. So just a quick recap of them. So the experts put them together because they said they had a mutual desire to plant roots and they come from similar backgrounds because they both had single parent homes. Did y'all think that was enough to pair people up?
I mean, well, listen, I feel like this season, like last season was like, hey, let's put all the opposites together.
Yeah.
Now this season is like, hey, these people are very similar. Let's put them together and see what happens. But I mean, I feel like, so I mean, I think their part of the pairing was like, oh, they both are want to grow up and ditch the party life. I feel like Katina may be there. I feel like Olajuwon is not there yet.
Is it Olajuwon or Isaac? That's what we need to figure out.
Oh, this is a season of alter egos as well, people. Yeah. We've got three people that have alter egos on this season at least. Right. That we know of so far.
Right. So it's like, if someone were to come to Katina, like woman to woman, they're going to be like, hey, I dated Isaac. And Katina's going to be like, what? I don't know an Isaac. And so then Olajuwon might be in the clear at that point.
Boom.
Perfect. I know. I thought of that.
That's why you have alter ego.
Right. I was thinking on her like questionnaire, like if she was like Bao saying like, here's a list of guys, like do not put Isaac, like
Isaac. Oh, that would be hilarious. Right.
Oh my gosh, what if she knows him?
Well, on the preview of the next episode, he says like, oh, I hope I haven't been with any of her friends. Like if you have to say that, I feel like that's this man is a walking red flag for this show. Like, I feel like they put him on here for the entertainment value of how messy he is and how horrible it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you going to say?
Well, and I think like the fact that he wants, you know, dinner waiting every time he comes home and she's a food blogger is not quite the same thing. So,
right. Very, very drastic differences.
Like she's not making the food. She's going to restaurants.
Yeah.
She's a foodie,
but she did say in the matchmaking special, she's like, I like food, but like if I need to cook at home, I will. So it's not that she can't cook. She just prefers to go
out.
That's
not the same as I'm going to have your food waiting for you when you walk in the door.
True. Like,
and like he's so steadfast on it. Like I think it's his sister-in-law was like, well, what if she can't cook? He's like, oh, that's off. That's a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so let's get into who they are. So Olajuwon is 29. Everybody had like a quote unquote thing, and his was ex Playboy. So he said he's been working on himself for the past 2 years because prior life he was Isaac and he cheated and he lied and he was very mature. We learned that he's lost his father at 16. He's really close to his mom, but her face was blurred. Did y'all peep that?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I did. We're not signing releases out here, apparently.
Right.
I noticed that in one of the photos of somebody else, but yeah.
Yeah, I was like, is she not going to be at the wedding? Like, I don't know. But yes, his major call out with just getting to know him was him fit his family saying, what if she doesn't cook? Oh, that's not a wife. That's not a wife. If she can't cook, that's not a wife. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Crazy. I feel like in this, one of my favorite parts of these of the beginning episodes is how the family describes their people. Yeah. And it's like, you know, that's another red flag. Oh, this whoever marries him is going to have to be patient, is going to have to ignore him sometimes, we said about him. So that's another like ding, red flag.
Right.
Yeah. He's going to be a project for someone.
That means he's an asshole. Like,
right. I'm like,
he's going to be.
Exactly. Like this is someone very like, because that was his brother's wife or his family member's wife who was saying that. So it's like this is someone who loves you on national TV saying this, like basically telling us, I know this man is not ready to be married. So let me tell you all the things that this woman needs to prepare herself for, because I don't think it's going to work.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, he also says he wants a traditional wife. And so, you know, with that, that's having plate on the table when he gets home. But like, what else? I'm sure there are other things he has in his mind.
Yeah, but people say, I want a traditional wife. Like, so that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Like, she works, she does things. Like, is that, do you want her to work and cook and clean for you? Or are you going to have to, like, you want her not to work? I have a feeling he doesn't know what traditional means. Yet.
And what does it mean?
Traditional means like, I want you to cook and clean for me, but that's about it.
And what is he doing? What does being a traditional husband mean for him? Or does he not, you know, fit
exactly
into the situation
either? Yeah, you got a job to bring home the bacon and support both of us? I'm going to guess no.
Exactly. So with his wife, Katina, she's 30, so just a year older, but women and men age differently. So I'm just saying not all women that are 30 and men that are 30 are the same maturity level. It's different. Yeah. It's different for everybody. But so she's 30. She said her quote unquote thing is party girl no more. So she has had a past of party life. She said if she starts the night at 7, she may not end the night until 3 or 4 in the morning. And I instantly got sleepy hearing her say this. I can't even imagine at 7. Oh my gosh.
Listen, y'all, I'm in bed by 10:30 most nights. So like, I can't relate. So like, Katina's ready to give it up, right? So I didn't really catch, is she just a food blogger or what else is she doing? I know she's previously worked in a nightclub, but she said previously, so I don't know what she's doing now.
Yeah, but I didn't catch her current occupation.
I kind of believe her when she says she's ready to give up that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. In contrast to when Elijah Wan says it, I don't believe it whatsoever.
Yeah.
How about y'all? Do you guys see that as well?
I really wanted to see the best in Elijah Wan, and I maintain that through the matchmaking special. And I maintain that talking to friends, like, and so he's ready now. Around. Like he'll come around. I am totally off that train after this episode. Yeah. He is not ready. He's like far from ready. And yes, I do think she is ready. She seems like I'm ready to give that up. Like I'm over that. I'm in this new phase of life. But he seems like, oh shoot, you just caught me in like the third quarter of like my game of partying. So I'm like, I'm not quite done yet, but I'll slip this in so then I can continue doing everything I was doing before.
Like he says he wants what his family and friends have. I think it's easy to want that, mm-hmm. but I don't think he realizes the work that his family and friends have put in to get that. Like I think maybe his friend or his brother was describing like how he met his wife and like him and his wife just vibe. He wasn't looking for that, but mm-hmm. into that. I don't think he's ready to grow into anything. I think he just is like a lot of people on this show. I think he just wants it ready made like a TV dinner. Like,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
I just got here and it's here. I'm happy now. I'm good. I don't think he's ready for the work. I don't think he's mature enough for the work. Yeah, it reminds me of Zach from last season.
Yeah, I could see that. It's like, you know what you can put on the application. You know what they're going to want you to say. That mm-hmm. yes, I'm ready to put that all behind. And with Katina, it's like, okay, if you're single and you haven't found the right person, and that's just kind of what her lifestyle is now, kind of in the absence of having her person, it feels more like this is what I'm doing now because, you know, I'm not tied down to anybody, but I would prefer, you know, another phase of my life. Whereas I don't know exactly what he's done in the past 2 years, besides maybe, you know, submit his application for the show.
Right.
He's very vague about the work, the quote unquote work he's done on himself in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Can you imagine when they meet each other, they sit down and talk about their lives? Like, is he going to be, he's been pretty upfront with his, you know, shitty lifestyles so far. And this person, Katina, who, as she described to us, has been cheated on multiple times, had, you know, been with a guy for a year before finding out that he had a baby in the same amount of time that he was with her. Can you imagine mm-hmm. the PTSD she's going to go through when she hears that he's like cheated on multiple women? He's got these alter egos that he's been using.
Right.
Can't even imagine how her red flags are going to go up in her head and how that's going to affect their relationship.
Yeah, that blew me away when she was telling her stories about the past of like she just keeps getting in relationships with men who already have girlfriends. Like one ex was for a year. One ex, she met him at a bar and then come to find out he has a girlfriend because the girlfriend reached out to her. So it's just like she keeps attracting and then not even seeing any signs while she's with these men that they have whole relationships going on. So I can imagine there's a little bit of like trust issues she may just have off the bat. And if Elijah Wan is as open with us as he has been about his past, she's going to immediately be like, okay, red flag.
Well, I feel like she's going to feel like, what am I doing to attract these, like,
yes,
jerks? Like,
even the experts aren't giving them to me.
Yeah.
I want the show to get a non-jerk, and they still gave me a jerk.
Right. Yeah. With Olajuwon, like y'all were saying, he knows what to say. That's the problem. They always know what to say. It's just like, if there was an application to be an NFL quarterback, I know what to say. Oh, I can read offenses really well. I can throw the pass. I can throw a pass really great. I have great vision. I can see all across the field, you know, but then I show up. I can't do that. I'm not equipped.
You show up at your age or you're like, wait a minute.
Like barely 5'5". Like I can't.
So ready to go in, coach.
Right. That's the problem. I just like that. I keep saying that. I wish there was so much more that they could do to vet these people. I don't know if it's put them on a fake date, like on Unmatchables or something. Just see them interact with another human being before they put them in this situation.
Yeah. Or we saw with another one of the guys, Pastor Cal actually called up one of their siblings, like on the spot, and doing something like that, like doing a little more like, okay, you say this, I'm going to call your friend really quick and not just what you tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think finding, you know, exes, you know, and that would be hard too, because the person's in control of what exes you call, I guess. But
yeah,
I think that would go a long way in kind of finding out more about these people too. Maybe they, I don't know, maybe they do that, maybe they don't. I feel like if you talk to someone, Olajuwon's exes, they would probably tell you how much of a creep he is, but I think finding those right exes is the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of me thinks that they were just like, these are just two good looking people. They're going to look good together.
Yeah.
We have some great casting photos of their wedding and let's just see what happens.
Yeah. You know, he's a handsome guy. She's beautiful. What can go wrong?
He says he's reformed. He told us he's reformed. We can't be responsible for what happens after that.
Right. I was telling my roommate earlier, I was like, this show does nothing but add topics to these people's therapy sessions. Like you're like doing nothing but just causing further damage in their love lives, because it's just like, I mean, of these five couples, I probably feel optimistic about one of them, two, maybe. Mm. And so when we get to them, I'll say, but this isn't one of them. So for them, that was mainly what we got for their intros. And then we had like the girls got together, the guys got together, they all met. And then we had the bachelor and bachelorette parties. So when the girls got together, Katina pointed out that a guy she was with had a 9-year relationship, she found out while she was with him. It's just like, girl, how is this happening? I just feel like that's what she expects at this point. So I'm just hoping she's just not as
Well, I don't think she's going to be disappointed.
Right. And then not really much from her at the bachelorette party. Did y'all see her at the bachelorette party?
Nothing standing out.
I mean, I think we just had the opposite, like, because, you know, I think we did those with most of the couples. They had like statements from one person like, oh, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to their mate saying the very opposite of what they like. So,
yeah,
I think that's to show us like some conflict coming up. She's like, you know, she doesn't want to have sex on the first night. And he's like, well, or maybe it was the opposite. She said, if it happens, it happens. And he's like, no, the first night. And then she's talking about how she doesn't want a dog or whatever. And he's stripping with the stripper. Right. And has the stripper's unmentionables on his face.
Yes. It's like, that's so, yeah, because literally my roommate wasn't watching. And so I told her, I was like, oh my gosh, there was this guy that said, like, if the wife doesn't cook, that's not a wife. And so then like she kept like seeing random people and then was like, oh, is that him? Is that him? And so then the bachelor party happened. She was like, oh, is that him? I was like, oh, you mean the one that has his face in the stripper's butt? Yes, absolutely. That's him. That was wild. Yes, at the bachelor party, he's like, He's like, dude, I love strippers. This is my habitat. And was like, took his shirt off. The stripper was grinding on him. And he was having the time of his life.
Didn't he say he wanted to
change your ways, Elijah Wan? Totally changed your ways.
Yeah. And now, am I remembering right that he told his family members that he wanted his wife to come to the strip club with him? Or am I thinking
he did? He did say that. He's like, look, yeah. I want a partner that I can come to the strip club with me.
Yeah. See, I think he said that at the bachelor party.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
Buddies.
Yeah. And they're like, well, don't you think your priorities should change a little bit when you get married? He's like, yeah, yeah. But they took shots of something because I saw the guys had something clear. I was like, okay, maybe this vodka. I don't know. Because the girls, they took shots of tequila to start off the night. And so they had a good time. But yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else from a lot? Oh, during the guy segment, he said his friends call him a Facebook crook because he always meets women on Facebook. And I was like, I know those type of guys like that just will slide in Facebook Messenger. And I'm like, are you serious? Like,
what year are we in Facebook?
Exactly. Yes, that is still a thing. Random Facebook requests, and you're like, how did you find me? And then if you accept, then they come into the messenger like, hey, hi, how are you? You just came up on my suggested people. I'm like, oh, I'm so
your
sure.
Profile expire? Yeah. Like, what?
Right. Like,
resort to.
It's like, okay, Elijah Wan, I know the kind of guy you are. And then he said this will be his first time putting this much effort into a relationship.
Because this is what you want to do, and you have decided that you want to, like, really put effort. You just marry someone you've never met. I don't understand what you're thinking when you do that, when you're like, oh, you know what? I think I might want to start taking relationships a little more seriously. You know what? You know what the best course of action is? For me to marry a complete stranger.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Come on.
Takes a lot of work to fill out the questionnaire. I mean, he probably had to sit for an hour in front of his laptop, so.
Yep.
Suffered. He feels like effort. He feels like a recruit to me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think there's no other way. He was like
some casting producer saw him in a bar and sweet talked him and convinced him that he now wants to be married to a stranger.
Yeah, there's no way he was sitting at home like, you know what? I think I'm ready to get married.
Can we trace this back to Jeff D? Because there was a People magazine like introducing the cast. An article that said that he has a tie to Jeff D and was like, oh, it went pretty good for Jeff D. So they came back to Boston and he was interested. But, you know, who like let him know maybe like, hey, like I got something out of this. But I don't think Jeff D and Shanice are like the picture perfect couple.
Right. Right. No,
they threaten to get divorced every other episode of couple scam. So, like, yeah.
They do. Yeah. I think it's because like, isn't that their only success story from Boston? So it's like, yeah. That's all.
Unless well, you count actually, the guy that ended up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the sex therapist, I think it was.
Right. Yeah.
Just Dr. Viviana.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I'm curious about with Jeff D and Elijah Wan is the age difference, because I feel like Jeff D's in his 30s and Elijah Wan is 29. So I'm like, when did y'all go to school together? Was it just like Jeff D was a senior and you were a freshman or
maybe, was he one of his students?
Jeff right. Yeah. What's that connection? Maybe it'll come up at some point. I feel like it would be a missed opportunity if Jeff D didn't show up at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, we really didn't get anything else from the next time on besides the fact that literally everyone is nervous. So there wasn't anything specific with Elijah Wan and Katina. Was there anything else y'all wanted to call out from them?
Well, just the on the next time on where he's like, I hope I didn't mess with any of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a red. That's another red flag. This guy's a walking red flag.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's his first fear. Because for him, that's a possibility. Right. I have been with so many women, it's possible. Mm-hmm. So every episode, we rate on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being they're going to stay together, 5 being, no, 1 being they're going to get divorced, mm-hmm. 5 being they are going to definitely stay together. So where?
At least to decision day.
At least to decision day, because it's hard to predict past that, honestly. Mm-hmm. I just think that.
Look at last season.
Right. Look at last season. 0 out of 5.
Yeah.
And now that the experts are saying, I think it was a matchmaking special that they were like, maybe we're going to go 5 for 5. It's like, what?
Yeah, sure.
Right, we're not working miracles here. Yeah. But
they're not even batting an average of 1 per season at this point.
Like 0.25. Oh, yeah, because they said 12 couples are still together.
I wonder if that counted for like Rachel and Jose. I wonder if they tried to cheat it. Like,
right.
Technically, Rachel and Jose haven't gotten divorced yet.
Right, because it was before Ryan and Clara had made their announcement. But then you also had Bennett and Amelia from season 11, who I feel like it's been confirmed, but I don't know.
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah, the one season. Right. I also like how there was something at the beginning where it was like, gave some big number, like 80,000, or maybe it was even only 15,000, but have applied over 14 seasons. You know, they're like, mm-hmm. over all seasons. Not that many people are clamoring to get, you know, to be at this, you know.
And I'm like, hey, everybody. You have, right.
Well, I feel like a determining factor is the first question on the question is like, have you seen the show? If they answer no, I think they go through to the next round.
Right. I mean, you have people repeats. So you have Mark, who has applied twice. Oh, so are they double counting, or is this a unique number? So
at least in the early days, they didn't tell them. They just said it was like a relationship experiment until mm-hmm. they like the person. So it kind of explains why some of those early seasons, like, it wasn't going to work out, because they just sort of really, they weren't buying into the concept right away and had to be
right.
And like, oh, it's not just a dating show.
Right. This isn't too hot to handle. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's going more toward that sphere. Like, I feel like thinking of the journey from season 1 to now, where season 1, like, we have scientists that, you know, compiled all this data. We have 5 experts in religion and, you know, therapy and whatever it was. And now it's just like, these 3 people just decided to put these people together because both of them like the color blue.
Like, yeah. Yeah, not based on much. They're struggling. So where would you rate them, Jason, in scale from 1 to 5?
Big flashing 1. I'm going to say that. I have no confidence whatsoever that this is going to work on any level.
What about you, Amy?
I'm coming in at 1 as well. You know, I've seen their wedding photos. They look happy, but usually chemistry at a wedding does not bode well necessarily for ultimate decision day decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So his true self will come out probably at honeymoon.
Right.
I only think it gets past the first night. I think his red flags are showing themselves. Yeah.
Right. I just feel like she's not gonna put up with, I think there are gonna be things that she's not gonna put up with, and I think that there are, he does not strike me as the guy who's going to pleasantly surprise me. Mm. And I really wanted him to. I hung on to that for a couple of weeks. And then I just see this episode and you learn more about him. And then you're like, oh, no,
I feel like we're going to get the classic Mavs scene where after they come back from the honeymoon, where we're going to get the diary cam of her like, well, it's about 2:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
Lijuan hasn't come home yet. I texted him several times. He hasn't responded. Not sure where he is. Right. And then he's going to come home like, what? What do you mean? What
are you talking about? Yeah. It's textbook. The toxic,
I see that in their future.
Yes. And I feel so bad for her because I feel like all of the women really want this. There are a couple that are, they feel like they're on the fence that we'll get into. But she's one of the ones that I feel like she's doing this for genuine reasons to settle down, leave that party life in the past and find something serious, which is marriage. So it's not just a long-term relationship. So yeah, I definitely see that they're featured too, Jason. So I will also agree with a one. Unfortunately, this is where we are. So the next couple we're going to get into, we didn't get much from them actually. It was very little. But I'm very curious to learn more about them because they're the type of people that, well, I'm the type of person that if somebody is like quieter, I like, that makes me want to get to know them more. So it's just like, oh, like I'm so intrigued because I know so little. But I'm going to go with Noy and Steve.
Okay, so noisy.
Quirky, noisy.
Or quietly noisy. Quietly noisy. I did not like, I was like, did they misspell noisy on purpose? And then I like figured it out. Yeah, that's what she wants to call herself.
Quietly noisy, yes.
go ahead, Asia. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only thing that the experts really gave us about their relationship or why they matched them together was Steve has an emotional side that Noy wants, and Noy has a maternal side that Steve is looking for in growing a family. I feel like you can say that about anyone. You could pick a woman off the street and say, do you want to be a mother someday? And she's like, sure. Okay, this woman has a maternal side Steve is looking for.
Yeah, like all these descriptions of before they go into the couple are very like nondescript. Like,
yes,
you know, like you said, this is what anyone wants. Like this whole episode was like, oh, I want someone that loves me. You don't say.
I want someone who's kind. Oh, do you want a mean person? Like, oh, shocker. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So Steve is 38, which kind of strike to me as odd because I don't see him as 38. Doesn't he seem a little bit younger than 38?
Like, yeah, I mean, he takes care of himself. So, I mean, like, yeah. I would put him at like maybe closer to Noy's age at like a 33, early 30s or something.
Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't strike me as being like Jake's counterpart.
40 is around the corner.
Right.
But he does strike me as like a very serious, like, very mature person. That's probably the only description I can really give you of Steve, because I feel like he's got nothing. Right? I get like he's blank to me. Like he lived in his car for a while. Like he has like no personality. Like I can really ascertain it.
Yeah, he's Mr. Free Spirit. You know, he used to be a software sales engineer, but he got laid off with COVID, so he took some time to just travel south and go all the way to Florida and live out of his car and just really find himself, you know. And his family's very happy for him. His brother joked that, you know, this isn't a good idea. It's a great idea. So
one of his brothers seemed really out there, and I want to be like a little more like that guy in my life. that guy is someone I would describe as free-spirited. I would describe Steve as that.
Uncle, right?
Yeah.
He had a shirt that looked like Pepsi, but it said sexy.
Yeah. Oh.
Bleached hair.
Oh, yeah. He's Mr. Free Spirit's brother. Yeah. Steve is. They gave Mr. Free Spirit to the wrong guy. But yeah, that's mainly what we learned about Steve. And then his wife is Noy. She's 33. She's quietly noisy. Noisy, N-O-I-Z. She has this alter ego where she wears a white wig and she's like dancing on a roof. I was like, what is happening?
A music video or something. I don't know. I feel like she might be on the wrong show. I think maybe she belongs on
Maddie.
What
is the show?
Johnson.
Yeah.
Because she's had many adventures overseas trying to meet men.
Yes.
That's exactly
what do we think is going on there? It's like, oh, she's taking a lot of plane rides for love. What does that mean?
Yeah, I was like, so I said that. I was like, what are you talking about? It's like she met a guy in Bulgaria,
The UK.
The UK. How do you end up in the situation?
Right. It's like
the on-time thing, right? It's not like, oh, we're out in Boston. She wasn't even from Boston. Like, she moved there for a fresh start. So,
yeah.
I think there's way more than meets the eye so far in Noi. I think there's a lot to discover about her because, you know, unlike Steve, who I'm not sure there's much beneath that surface, I feel like there's a lot to find out about Noi and a lot more. Because right. Even in this episode, like, she's like, we see her as a quiet person at first, and she's like getting kind of rowdy at the bachelorette party.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to enjoy the experience of Noi. As the season goes further, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be revealed.
Right. She's definitely more than like what meets the eye. She was born in a refugee camp in Laos and moved to America when she was 2. And then I also noticed that Steve's mom seemed like she was from Asian descent. Or no, his dad.
His dad was Caucasian.
Yes. His dad was of Asian descent. So I wonder, which country his family descended from. Because if it's Laos, that'd be a great thing in common. I could see the experts thinking, oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. Since that's kind of what they try to base stuff on. Thinking like Johnny and Bao. And so I think individually, they seem like interesting people, but I don't know if I can picture them together.
So, yeah, I think I do feel like they're different people. I can't really pick up on who Steve is, but it feels like he's not really a Noi type of guy. And it's been made a big deal that Steve doesn't have a job.
Yes.
But I feel like Steve's the kind of guy is like, he saves up a bunch of money anyway, and it doesn't really matter. He doesn't have a job.
Right.
He's fine now. And he, quote unquote, freelances right now. I'm not sure what that means. Like, do you DoorDash? Do you Uber? Like, I don't know what exactly that means. But I feel like, you know, the big deal is me like, oh, Steve doesn't have a job. What's she going to think about that? But I think he's probably fine in the money department.
Yeah, because if you think about it, that means like he probably was a software sales engineer leading up until he was 37. So he probably has a very significant 401k. He's probably has saved. And so
severance there, maybe.
Right. Exactly.
Did we pick up on what Noi does?
I did not.
Yeah.
I just know she wants someone stable.
Yeah. Like someone doesn't have a job.
Jumps on her bed a lot and runs through a field. We have a lot of those. Right. You know, sort of like set the stage, but yeah, I don't know.
I really want to learn more about them because we did get very little. Even in the guy and girl segments, we didn't really get much from them because you can tell Steve's going to kind of be the quieter one out of the guys. He did have one interesting quote of, you know, this is going to be the last time for a first time in terms of like the wedding night, and so he wants to play it slow. I was like, that's a good way to look at it, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, Noi was like, well, if it happens, it happens.
She's the one that was the only one who would admit it, that she might go for it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I just feel like even though they gave us they gave them some screen time, we just don't know Noi and Steve yet.
Yeah. The other thing that stood out to me about Steve is just that his mom seemed like so excited. Like she was worried about him. That
yes.
He's going to be the guy down by the river in a van.
Right.
Oh, down by the river. This may be the Chris Farley character from SNL. But, she seemed very, like, relieved that he was going to get married because he's the last one out of his siblings to get married. So, yeah, hopefully that works out for them. I don't have high hopes for them so far, but I can't really base that on much of anything because we haven't seen them.
Right. And, I mean, you made a good point about Steve. In like his, because I was seeing him more as quiet, but he is just mature. He's not all out there because we're seeing him in scenes compared to like Olajuwon, who is just so energetic. Even Mark, so energetic and just out there. So then you're like, whoa, Steve, say something. But he's just being the mature one of the bunch. Similar to like Ryan, I felt like Ryan was very mature of Ryan and Clara. I felt like Ryan was very mature in that group of guys. So yeah. I wonder, you know, is that going to show through in the marriage of just like, are they going to be able to have a very productive marriage because he is mature? I feel like that would be really helpful in like talking through things and just having better communication. And just if there is conflict at the beginning, being able to like work their way through it. So
you hit on a good parallel there with Ryan and Clara. And Ryan, I'm not sure he's going to want to really share a lot. I think maybe he's going to want to keep things behind the scenes a little like Ryan did maybe.
Yeah.
I kind of hope his free spirited description is accurate and he's just kind of like lays it all out there, but I don't have high hopes for that.
Yeah. I could see this couple kind of fading to the background. Like we just wouldn't see as much from them, but you know, he's tall. She's younger than him. Yes. So those are two things that they were both looking for.
Right.
Not common experts things like, that anyone
bingo,
looks for at all.
We got it. Right. Well, a tall guy, we got him. And you guys are both Asian, so this works for us. So that's what we like to do.
I did like that Dr. Pepper in the matchmaking special pointed out that one con is that her married name, if she were to take his name, would be Noi Noi.
Yeah. He's like, that's the only con I can think of.
Asia, would that be a deal breaker for you or cause any pause if you were with somebody where their last name rhymed with Asia?
That's funny because in high school, people used to call me Asia Beja. So it's like, okay, if Beja is a last name. No, I think it would be, I think it'd be catchy.
Yeah,
Asia Maja.
Asia Maja. Asia Malaysia. Yeah, I think it could work. did y'all have anything else on them? Because we're not getting their wedding until, I don't know if it's next week or the week after. You know how they love to do things. So
yeah, I think we pretty much I'm not surprised we got this much conversation out of what we got from them on the show.
I know, frankly. Right? Very true. So I'd probably go with because we're going off of nothing. So I'm going to go with a 3 because they can honestly surprise me and go either way. So since there aren't as many like just blaring red flags that are just like whacking me in the face, I'm going to go 3.
That's where my head was at as well.
I feel like right down the middle is where to put this.
Yeah. Like we don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. 3 kind of baseline. They can
surprise
us or, you know, disappoint us, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Leaves room for all that.
I think they both want to be married. I did feel genuine, you know, feelings on both sides.
So I agree. I think there is genuine desire to make this work, which in a lot of these cases, that's all you need. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's if you have that and then you have the patience to figure out why the experts matched you, if there's anything deeper than what they've said, then you really have a chance.
Yeah, I feel like there's no real personality trait that's glaring that's going to really make someone say this guy or girl is the worst. I can't be with this person. I feel like it's going to be a very friendly, you know, arrangement. Mm-hmm. And a lot can grow out of that. So I think They have a shot. I mean, like I said, it's a 3 for me too because it's like we always said, we got.
Yeah, exactly. Great. So we're at a 3 for them. We have 3 more couples to go. So the next one also didn't give us much. It's like, yes, sweetie, give us nothing. But I have a feeling. I have a feeling we might get. I don't know. I feel like there is more to unpack with this couple because even though we didn't get a lot from them, they still were on the screen a lot, especially Michael. I feel like they were giving us a lot of Michael. So we're going to go into Jasmina and Michael. Did y'all feel that way? Did y'all feel like he had a lot of confessionals throughout?
Yeah, thought they wanted us to fall in love with him. And it kind of worked on me. I was like, he's, you know, like, going to be like the guy we're rooting for, I feel like.
I feel like they want us, like Amy said, they want us to like Michael. And it worked on me. I like Michael a lot.
I do too. I can tell he wants this so bad, but then it gave me flashbacks to Zach and how Zach wanted it so bad. Like early on, we really thought Zach really wanted it.
I from the start of last season was like, Zach ain't it. Like I felt that way about Zach. I don't feel that way about Michael. I feel like not to spoil where my rating's going to be, but I have high hopes for these two. I think it's going to work.
The signs are kind of there. Like, there's so much potential.
I was trying to channel more like Greg vibes. Like, okay, I could see, like, you know, just like a really genuine, sweet person.
Yeah, I could see
and
that.
Just his relationship with his sisters.
Yes. That's a big really thing. Well. Yeah, I feel like if any man has a great relationship with the women in his family, then that kind of shows how, like, it can be natural for him to be caring for a woman from what I've seen. Like,
and it felt like they were very excited for him, which kind of tells me that they think he is ready for this. I think they may have even said it in their in their little interviews.
Yeah. So
there were very little red flags. I mean, he said he is not ready to be vulnerable, but I feel like that's kind of, you know, I feel like he can get over that. If you meet the right person, I think Jasmine might be the right person for him. So they threw that in there at us to kind of give us a little thing to say, well, maybe this won't work, but I think it's going to work. And just by what I saw.
Yeah. That parallel to Greg is a really good point because I could see it. I could see it being a situation where Jasmina may not be immediately sold on Michael, but then the more she gets to know him, she's like, this is a really great guy. Like, this is my guy. So the experts said that they match them because they're both looking to make large families of their own. They're both compassionate. Jasmina is pragmatic and Michael is reliable. And so then with Jasmina, she is 29. Her name is Miss No Nonsense. She says like she has the worst luck in relationships, or she feels like she always has the worst luck. She's a child of nine. where her siblings are all girls except for one boy. At two, this is what her life story was, that at two, her mom left. And so then her dad remarried to her stepmom. And then her stepmom and her dad got divorced and her dad moved to Jamaica. So then her stepmom remarried and then her stepmom adopted her. So now she views her stepmom as her mom and her, and then she is, has a good relationship also with her stepdad.
If you're out there listening, Land, catch all that. That was quite a family tree that she's got there. Quite a story.
I know. Yeah. And I'm like literally like looking at the ceiling, trying to like map this. Like, okay, she said this. But all that to say, she's, you know, that's where she is now. Cause we see a lot throughout people's relationship with their moms and their parents and siblings. And so she's like, you know, your family is who, you know, you have those relationships with. And so her stepmom is the one we see throughout the episode.
Like when she was kind of relating with Lindsay a little bit, talking about, you know, the chosen family. So I think, you know, as far as I've seen, Jasmine has got a, you know, great head on her shoulders so far.
She does. Yeah. I liked her.
Yeah, she works with little kids, so I think that's something that the show would love to kind of show, and that she's ready for her family, and, you know, I thought it was cute how she got surprised, you know, while she was putting away toys in the childcare center, and
it looked like she ran out of, like, her home or someone else's home. It was odd sight on the Magic Baking Special, where, like, it seemed like out of a home.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was, but yeah, I thought the fact that she's been through so much as a child, but then it seems like, you know, this is something that she, through her stepmom, who is her mom, adopted them and has kind of seen a model of what she wants to have. So she, like, strikes me as very, like, invested in the process.
Yeah, for sure. Then on the contrary, we have Michael, who also seems very interested in this process. He's 28. He's training for love, quote unquote. And he also has this story of tragedy where his dad passed away when he was 11. His brother was shot. We didn't quite get the age. And then his mom passed away from breast cancer at 20.
When he was 20.
Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness. Like,
this is like a side note. It feels like this season, last season, like, to get on this show, you have to have had some like family tragedy, because almost every story is similar to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They love to bring, I mean, I do know, yes, grief and, you know, family members passing, it is very important to your upbringing and how it has shaped you as a person. But it's always so interesting how much of it we see on, like, I don't know if that they think like, oh, this is an experience that would make them a better spouse or what?
They fix each other's traumas.
Yeah. They seem to be maybe matching people too much on it. Whereas in the past, you know, there was one season, actually it was the Boston season, where one of the women lost her fiance. I think he died. But it wasn't like they paired her with somebody that had that exact same experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or yes. With Jamie Otis, who we mentioned, you know, she had kind of a difficult upbringing. Her mom was an addict, and so she didn't really have that stable relationship. She had to raise her siblings kind of as her kids, mm-hmm. but they wanted to give her the stability, so they gave her Doug. And she had asked for, like, I want someone that has, like, comes from a really great family and has mm-hmm. all that stability. So yeah, a little bit different in some of the pairings we've seen, you know, with Mirla and Gil, where they both had such a traumatic event.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like a different approach, or they want to share these stories.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like more common than we think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it, like, the girl segment, the guys, the only thing we got from Jasmina was she always feels like she's the girl that the guy has to go through to be ready. And that's a thing. That's honestly the thing, where it's like you're the girl that fixes them, or that they have to go through some more hardships before the next girl is the one that they marry.
Well, thank you for your service. I think I'm ready to go find my wife now, right. Which is not you.
Exactly. Like, oh, I feel bad for her that she thinks that she's that girl. And then Michael, he said he usually, like, someone will have everything he's looking for, and then there's that one thing, and he's like, ah, this is not going to work.
Yeah, that was, like, the one thing that worried me, because that seems like somebody that would not do well with this process.
Mm-hmm.
One little Johnny thing. From last season.
Oh. Yes.
Who? He who shall not be named.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he tried to justify it. Michael said, like, he thinks this process would be good for him because he won't be forced to leave. He's, like, forced to stay because he's married. Like,
that's not you good. Need,
yeah, that's not good. Like, that's what
well,
it's going to
take.
Well,
you're my wife, so I guess I'm stuck.
Like, even did you see you. Last season?
Yeah, I could have been with somebody that just had, like, everything perfect, so that one little thing. But now, like, we're not a match at all. But, you know, I'm stuck.
Yeah. So. I'm like, what? So, yeah. I mean, there wasn't much action for them at the bachelorette parties. One thing with Michael was that his friend said, like, in past relationships, he's always hidden his emotions. So just hoping that, you know, throughout the process, the more he gets comfortable with her, he starts opening up. And so did y'all have anything else on Jasmina and Michael?
Do you think we'll see Michael's fun side come out? Because that was part of the matchmaking special, where mm-hmm. Pastor Cal was like, okay, this Michael, this is the guy that, you know, he's like, call my sister. She'll say I'm fun. Right. We're talking about the same person.
I'm a fun guy.
I could see there being like a scene where he like visits her at the daycare and like he's like playing with the kids or something, maybe. Right. I don't know. I could see that there. But
yeah.
Yeah, maybe on the honeymoon. Oh, they're yeah. having a good time.
You could go like parasailing or something.
Right. He might crack a smile or something.
Yeah.
It does feel like they both have the same temperament. Like they both are mm-hmm. pretty mild tempered. So I think that could be a good thing and a bad thing. Because mm-hmm. like if yeah. they have conflict, neither one will like be passionate enough to fight it out or like to resolve it. But they also won't be too much for each other in just a normal situation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. there was a moment like when the dress fitting were like, somebody called her simple and she like snapped back at them like, don't call me simple.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we did.
A little bit of a demon side coming out. I don't know.
We did get their dress shopping. So Michael chose this burgundy tux. He was feeling himself in it. He was modeling. He said he felt like royalty. His sisters were gassing him up. So his sister's like,
I'll give him that.
Yeah, it did. His sister's like, what is he giving? He's like, it's giving me husband. So I thought that was so funny. And I like the dress that she chose. It was very simple up top. She knew right away that was it. It had some like ruffles on the bottom. I thought she looked great in it, especially when it's going to be fitted. I think she'll look great in it.
I'm surprised we didn't get any scenes like kind of the classic thing, like with the Mirla and Gil, like, I don't want a bald head, or, you know, like mm-hmm. her saying like, I don't want any facial hair or something like that.
Yeah.
That would have been like a perfect setup that they would love, but
mm-hmm.
maybe they learned a lesson on that. Maybe they right. into it.
Yeah. They, if she didn't say it, they can't use it.
Right.
So, let's see. Okay. So where would you rate them, Amy?
Yeah, like Jason, I'm feeling good about them. I'm not getting major red flags from either of them. I think they could complement each other well. So I'm going to do an optimistic 4.
Oh, what about you, Jason?
You know what? Go big or go home.
Whoa.
I'm putting a 5 on it.
Whoa.
Okay? Wow.
Putting a 5 on it.
That's a strong rating. And we haven't even seen them lock eyes yet.
If they're attractive, well, he'll be attractive. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. If he's not, he's like, you need to go see your eye doctor.
Yeah.
I'm putting it all out there. So I'm gonna risk it, get the biscuit. Putting a 5 on.
I'm going to go with a 4 only because I just need to see them interact. I think if they hit it off, I'm going to be a for sure 5. Right now, I'm like, I just got to make sure there's that mutual like butterflies, flowers in each other's eyes when they see each other. So second to last couple, we have another couple who didn't really give us much. But
they were dry.
Ooh. Yeah. So we have Chris and Alyssa. And, I just realized, so Big Brother, there's Christian and Alyssa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chrysalis.
Yeah. So the experts match them because they have passions and ambitions, and they're both straightforward communicators.
They're both boring.
Yeah. I mean, Alyssa was the one at the bachelorette party. She said, I don't do shots. I'm not doing anything. But it was giving me different energy than Mirla. You know how Mirla was like, I feel like people saw Mirla like this, but I feel like she's different than Mirla.
Well, Mirla was entertaining.
Yeah, I didn't get why she was not into any of it. Like, I don't know. What do they expect? I think just participate. Like, even if it's not your thing, just go talk to the other wives. And right. Not that I'm on Lindsay's like side of totally bad mouthing her, but join the conversation.
Yeah. So give us that tea with Alyssa and Lindsay, who we're talking about next.
Yeah. So on the after party, Keisha was interviewing. So Katina, Jasmina, and Lindsay. So they showed that clip where Lindsay is commenting on how she couldn't remember, you know, that the fifth bride's name. Like, there's somebody else. Oh, yeah, she's not around. And yes. So you thought, like, they're just showing that clip to sort of just laugh about it. But then it became apparently this whole thing that, no, they really didn't like each other. And Alyssa blocked Lindsay on social media after that night.
That's a bold move.
Yeah. Bold. You're about to be interacting with this person 8 weeks. Yes.
So apparently Lindsay reached out like, hey, we're going to be spending, you know, the next 8 weeks together. Like, can we, you know, is there a peace offering? But I think she tried to reach out to her and found out that she was blocked. So there must have been some sort of conflict where she realized like that they didn't get along. But Jasmina said that Alyssa's friends overheard Lindsay badmouthing her the entire night. So
Jasmina was like, and he's like, girl, you know why she blocked you. That's what she's like.
Yeah, don't play. Don't
play.
I love that.
You was talking shit and you got blocked.
Right. Oh my God. That is so funny because we're coming off the heels of a season where everybody's all friendly. The only people that don't interact are the couples because they're all not together. So they've all found their own way and became friends.
Yeah, and then previous to that, like, there's been seasons where, like, all the women got a tattoo to match.
Yes!
Just see them going on vacations together.
Season 9, they got that tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't really recall any seasons where the women, like, don't really get along. I feel like there's more of the men, like, not really digging each other.
Yeah.
But I feel like the women all have gotten along on most of the seasons. This is different. I do wonder if this is going to be brought up at all on the show, because I don't think they would have, like, aired what Lindsay said if it came up on the show.
Right. I think they're itching for any opportunity for entertainment. So I would imagine if that's the only entertainment she can give, then, you know, they're going to show it. Because I can see
just snipe at each other in their interviews throughout the season.
Right.
They all get together, but maybe there won't be like a direct.
They won't ever be on the same one. Yeah,
just passive aggressive. Yeah, they're always just having no more than 3 women hanging out at a time.
Like on the honeymoon, like, oh, Lindsay's doing that excursion. Let's do this different excursion. Right. We don't want to be with her.
Well, now I'm thinking ahead that Mark, didn't Chris say like he wanted to hang out with Mark? Like, get me around that guy more often. So
yeah,
that could be a conflict if they're buddies.
Right. So I don't know. This is not the type of drama I expected episode 1.
Yeah, definitely not.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was just a funny comment, like, oh yeah, she's just not participating, so what's her name?
Yeah.
There's more to the story.
Right. Well, we saw a good bit of Lindsay here, and I feel like, you know, I'm not surprised that she was
she's a lot
caught talking about her like by different people. She seems maybe she thinks she's quietly talking about someone, but I don't think she can really quietly talk about anybody.
No.
She is quite a lot. So with Alyssa and Chris, so we can knock out Alyssa and Chris so we can get to the real entertainment of the episode. But Alyssa is 30. She's looking for her forever home. That's her name because she has a dog named Penelope, but then she also rescues dogs. So she's really passionate about dogs. She's feel like
ties to Chris's job. I didn't even catch that. For home, he's a realtor.
Well, her description was looking for her forever home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a realtor. So, like I said, you know, they're trying to be cute there.
Trying. Well, I thought it was because dogs look for their forever home, too.
Oh, that's true.
Like the double entendre.
Yeah.
She's giving us the only dog content, right?
Yeah, she really is. Well, Noy says she has a dog, but we didn't meet the dog because Noy was too busy dancing on the roof. So they're like, hey, it's your apartment or the roof. She's like, we gotta do the roof because I have that wig that I have to show.
She's got a great roof wig. I got to show off.
Yeah. So wild, wacky.
Yes. that's my personality trait. So Alyssa says she's a country girl and like you wouldn't expect it, but she likes to do country things. She was with her ex for a year. And one day she came home or he came home. She was making dinner. He said, "Hey, stop making dinner. We're breaking up." What?
That's so brutal. That's brutal with a capital B. I
can't get through the meal.
There's gotta be more to that story. I gotta find that ex and find out like find why he's so savage.
Like you didn't even want a free meal for a second before you broke it off. Like the least you could do is grab dinner.
What is that? Beef stroganoff? Throw it in the trash. You're dumped. I'm out of here.
That's the fifth time you made that this week. That's why I'm breaking up with you.
You know, it wasn't Olajuwon then because he would have taken that meal.
Yes. He would have said, this is the one. So maybe that was a miss right there. We if we see Alyssa and Olajuwon dating postseason.
the Zach and Bao of this season.
Right. And so with Chris, he's 35, so just 5 years older. He's Mr. Monogamy. He plays disc golf. And y'all, he is serious about this disc golf. He has played goodness. At a local pro level. He was saying all these different acronyms. And he is very proud of his semi-professional disc golf career.
I'm not huge into sports, but what does local pro level mean? That sounds like...
he plays in the park with his buddies. That's what that means.
This and there guy, are trophies up, and medals.
You look up like yuppie in a dictionary. Like this is the picture you get as Chris.
Yay! Yeah. But he's also a successful real estate agent for the last few years. So he has that going for him. So if he's not selling homes, he's throwing disc golfs and having
throwing frisbees in a basket.
Professional career about
that's
what
it. Looked like that was.
Yeah.
Yes. That's his passion right now. What am I passion? Maybe escape rooms. I'm that passionate about escape rooms. But I wouldn't call myself local pro level.
But the local association of escape rooms
enthusiast. Yeah. I am in a couple of Facebook groups, not gonna lie.
Oh no, that's not something you wanted to do in public. This is recorded.
So let me we didn't really get much from them. Oh, Alyssa did say that she needs him to have nice teeth.
Teeth is a big one.
It is a big one, and I don't know if she's gonna think he does when they meet.
Oh, Asia trying to throw shade at Chris's teeth?
I'm saying words without saying words.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I have a little concern about physical attraction because, like, the first thing she said to Pastor Cal, like, well, I want him to be cute. Like, that's, like, the first thing she's looking for. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's her physical type.
Oh, y'all are just throwing shade today. Oh, man. Jeez. Come at my saying. Boy Chris like that.
You have
my man is an athlete, okay? He's doing frisbee golf. Don't do that to him.
He is an athlete of sorts.
Yeah.
But we have to call it how we see it.
I'm sure she put athletic on her form.
Right. And they said,
he is an athlete. Exactly. That's the type of thinking the experts do, right?
They said local pro level. Oh, this is the one. Oh, yeah. I'm nervous for that same reason, Amy. I don't know.
I feel differently. I feel this is going to be along the lines of, you know, this fine lineage of boring couples that we get on this show that we get. Any content is going to be positive content. They're going to greet each other all the time. This is going to be a Bobby Danielle. This is going to be a Austin Jessica. I think that's where this is at.
No, I. Yeah, no, right. No, I don't think that's them. Okay, there was a preview. I was trying to find it real quick, but I couldn't find it. I randomly saw it on Twitter because I didn't see it on Instagram just now. That she was like, she's sitting there with him. And then she was in a confessional saying, we are too different. I cannot see myself sleeping next to this man tonight. And there were
no. I don't know how to throw a frisbee.
And that was from the wedding night or from the wedding?
It was from the wedding because she was referencing the wedding night.
That would have to be based on, like, you know, how they do the vows, like, Chris's family and friends want you to know, like, how much would you know how different you are? You know, it'd have to be like based on something like that.
Interesting. Now you're giving me pause. But you know, Lifetime likes to bait us.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
Edits.
That is true. That's why I was like, could it be a little Frankenbite? Would that come from something else? I can't even find it anymore. So I'm like, did I dream that? No, I don't think I've been asleep in the past 12 hours. So I did see that. She didn't look happy and he looked disappointed. He was sitting there in a suit, but we'll see. I don't know.
Okay, you're giving me pause. You give me something to think about.
But hey, I did notice, Jamie Otis felt that way the first day too.
There you go. See? I did notice in the whole reveal to the parents, like, Chris has not told his mother anything about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just going to tell you straight up. That was me and my mom. I wouldn't be here with you today. I'd be out. I'd be in a coma still. You're going to embarrass me on national television? I'd be out.
It's like he lied and said it was a reality show about real estate.
Yeah, I guess I could see maybe not mentioning early on if you're going to get cut from the process or something. But once you know you're in consideration and she's got to be filmed, maybe say, hey, could be getting married.
That was kind of a deep move. So maybe you got a point there. Maybe Chris isn't a great stand-up guy. Alyssa will not find these kind of practical jokes funny.
Right. She's going to come after us after Alyssa listens to this podcast. She's coming for us. let's see. Like we said earlier, she didn't want to do shots at the bachelorette party. Chris is worried that she want to be attracted to him, which that seemed to be kind of a concern for all the guys. Like, they just want to make sure that the girl is attracted to them. And then, Chris also would not get a lap dance from one of the strippers. He was like, nope, I want a lap dance from my wife. So.
Yeah, he was very adamant about that.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm on camera, so I want my wife to do that to me.
Right.
I want my wife to put her booty in my face.
Right. I am not a Lajuan.
Yeah.
So. That's it for them. I'd give them, because of the preview, I'm going to give them a 2.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Amy?
Yeah. That preview, it could be trying to trick us.
Right.
Yeah, the preview makes me want to give them 1, but there's, like they said, I think, what do they call her? Like a universal donor or something? Like, everyone will like her. Mm-hmm. Guys like her.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't sure about that terminology, but I'm worried it could be like a one-sided thing and she'll be kind of just out right away.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be, she could pleasantly surprise us. So I'll say 2 as well.
Okay. What about you, Jason?
Okay. I think you guys have convinced me to come down a little bit off my high.
No, don't let us talk you off your 5.
It was never a 5. Okay, I'm going to say that. I'm going to come down. I was probably going to give them a 4. I think I'm going to go down to a 3.
Okay. That's fair. I can get with that. Hey, I want them to pleasantly surprise me.
Yeah, he has the kennel ready for a dog, and she's got the dog. That's cute.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. He was the one that had, like, a weird empty
kennel,
in his house. What the heck? Okay, I might have to take that down to a 2 because that was weird.
He's just ready. I feel
like he might keep people in there, like, right.
Like a you situation.
Yeah, like why do you have this cage in here? I was getting ready to have a dog, sir. You put people in there, don't you?
Yeah, size of a big, like, yeah, that's a big dog.
Yeah, it was a people cage.
Yeah. Like, that's
so big. I forgot about that. Yeah, okay. My final answer is a 3. Okay, I'm gonna stick with that now. I think I'm gonna regret it, but I'm gonna go with a 3.
Okay, good. And last but certainly not least,
I'm the main attraction.
Right. We have none other than Lindsay and Mark. So the experts match them because they said they're both high energy, which we definitely saw. They're both outgoing. We definitely saw that. But they both have deeply caring sides. And the fact that Mark's grandma's in the hospital and his mom's in rehab and Lindsay is a nurse, they think that would be a great match. Why would they say that?
She could care for your family, Mark.
Yeah.
Bring work. Lindsay, after you go home from work all day, you can now continue your work.
I'm like, I was flabbergasted that was even said, that was just a reasoning for what, like, where's the correlation?
Yeah.
It was a stretch. It was a stretch for sure. But Mark, he's 37. He's Mr. Wicked Committed. He has 3 cats, and we find out, so he has there's JC, Chloe, and Rocky, and we find out it's because he had a cat, then he had someone living with him who had a cat, and then a coworker lived with him who had a cat. Why does everyone who moves in with him leave their cat? Why is he just taking in all the cats?
He's so caring. So Mark is a lot. I feel like anyone that sits with Mark for more than an hour probably says that Mark is a lot.
Yeah.
Now he did have on twice in the episode. I noticed he had on Cobra Kai apparel from the TV show.
Crossover.
Strike First, Strike Heart, No Mercy is a Cobra Kai thing. Now, I do like Cobra Kai. Let me slip a little plug in.
Slight plug.
I was on post show recaps with Josh Wigler talking about the new season of Cobra Kai. Go check that out. But I don't own any merch from the show. I feel like that says a lot about Mark, maybe, that maybe he's a little immature, maybe. But I just wanted to slip that in there. But Mark is quite a lot.
Yes.
He is.
Well, and the 3 cats thing, what I found hilarious was that he's like, yeah, the cats are keeping me single because everyone I meet, they just are allergic to cats. And I'm like, are they really?
Right.
Allergic to you, bro.
I'm like, I go in there, I'm like, oh, I'm so allergic to cats.
Yeah, like, you're great and all, but it'll never work between us.
Right. Such an easy.
You can have my cat, though.
Right.
Right.
As a consolation prize.
Yeah. Another thing we find out from Mark. So he applied last time Married at First Sight was in Boston. 4 years later, he is applying again. And the experts think this is so cool that he's back. He's back again. What is there no pause or concern about why he would be trying to get Married at First Sight again 4 years later?
Still,
like nothing has
you
happened.
You still can't get it together, my man. You still can't get it together. You were just waiting on pin and on hands and knees waiting for us to come back to Boston.
Come back. I'm like, that, what? Like, that was their main theme that they were focusing on. Okay, what about this time around? How'd you feel last time? What? So,
yeah. If you were rejected before, you know, why are they going back to him? Like, they made it seem like, oh, we really owe it to him. Like, we should try extra hard for him.
Right.
He's dedicated.
It was like he was like a Survivor player and they got like swap screwed and they were like, you know what? That wasn't really fair. We're going to bring you back on a second chance this season.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, his mom is in rehab because she can't care for herself physically. His grandma's in a nursing home and his dad passed away.
I loved his mom. When he called her, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm getting married. Oh, really? Okay. All right, damn.
Cool. Yeah. So then his wife, Lindsay, she's 34. She's the wild card. And she's like, yeah, like in Uno, I'm the wild card. So I'm like, so you're just whatever anybody wants you to be or what? I just feel like there was something else you could say in that situation. She says she's the type of person to like jump on a random flight. Like if you want to go anywhere, she'll jump on that flight with you. But she does go to bed at 9:30 p.m. It's like, these are conflicting things.
Mm-hmm.
And her blood type is B positive. So that's how she tries to live her life. That did take me a second to get. And I was like, oh, yeah. B positive.
She's like an endless like quotes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But her big recent relationship story is that her and her ex were going to get married, and he called off the wedding 5 days before they were supposed to get married.
Say what? I wonder why.
Well, they showed a picture too, and I thought the picture looked like a prom picture. It looked like they were 15 years old. I don't know what that was like. Were they like high school sweethearts or something? Was that really like that recent? They looked so different.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the timing.
But this seemed like maybe not the right, if it was really recent, maybe not somebody that should be cast to, right. You know, like kind of this shouldn't be the rebound thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, and with Lindsay, it was like, you know, like I said earlier, the family interviews really say a lot. Her family was really like, this guy, whoever he is going to need to have a lot of patience. He's going to need to deal with a lot of stuff. This guy needs to be a complete saint to deal with this lady that right. We have in our family. She is awful. They might as well have said that.
Like, yeah. Her dad said that he needs to be a lion tamer.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And I mean, like, I gotta say, seeing just the limited amount of things we saw from her, like, I gotta agree. Like, it's a lot.
It was quite a lot. She's a handful. And it only escalates with alcohol because she had a wild time at the bachelorette party. She tells the other girls, I wonder which one of y'all's husbands I've slept with. and then she forgot Alyssa's name, of course. And
okay, that probably rubbed them all the wrong way. Okay, it was not a good start.
Right.
She rubbed the right way, if you know what I mean. That's a Lindsay joke. Like,
right.
She was so like.
She's so out there.
Top.
Yes. And yeah, I was trying to see before we get to the wedding. The only thing she doesn't want is a belly and no baby teeth. No baby teeth.
Well, I'm out on both counts.
So. Oh, poor you. You can't get Lindsay.
I'm telling you, I can't get this gem of a woman. I will forever right. be. I guess I'll just have to keep the wife I have.
Right. Exactly. And then she does rub. So this is where I think she lost Alyssa forever, because they were in that group talking and Lindsay was like, yeah, I don't want a guy with a small dog because I'd probably Bigfoot it. And like Alyssa and Noi were looking like, what the heck? Why would you say that?
That was awful. I'm sure that she lost you two on that, too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So that she is just she is out there. Let's see. Did Mark do anything?
Well, let's talk about Lindsay's gem of a mom for a minute.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. This woman seems like just a horror show and a nightmare. I at a certain point, I was like, why would you even want this person at your wedding? She just seems awful.
Right.
Yeah, it's like there, and it's like no explanation. Like, did Lindsay? So her and her mom hasn't seen her mom in a few years. She's not going to the wedding. She doesn't respond to her phone calls. And so, why?
Well, on the after party, she was saying that her mom was actually in town around the time of the wedding because she lives in Texas, but she was in town and decided to leave, you know, instead of going to her daughter's wedding. Like, so she vehemently just did not want to go to her daughter's wedding.
Okay, that's wild. Yeah, I'm like, I feel like we know more about her than Noy and Steve.
Well, yeah, and apparently, like, because I think she said that her mom and dad split up 4 years ago, which is not, like, you know,
not that long.
A crazy amount of time ago.
And yeah.
Her dad seems like a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. So it really strikes me as odd that that's the relationship they have.
Yeah.
And was it always strained, or was it because of this divorce? I didn't really get the history of it.
Right.
I mean, if I'm a producer, I'm calling the mom like every other day. Like, can we please get you on the show?
Right. Yeah. So that, yeah, she, that, that's, I feel like we'll learn more. I mean, I kind of thought that with Johnny's dad last season, but that really that's where his story ended. And then they touched on a little bit mid season. But I feel like this was a very relevant storyline, and so we may get more at some point. Let's see. Mark, he just wasn't nervous at all. He's never had a kiss on New Year's, so he's excited about that.
Yeah, and he's 34, so that means you've never had a relationship last a full year. Right?
Right.
Well, was he the one that said he liked long relationships, or was that not him?
He was the one, he wanted, like, after 6 to 8, he kept saying, like,
37.
6 to 8 months, I've got to move in.
6 to 8 months, he wants to move in. Yeah, yeah.
That's yeah.
Right. I think it was Chris that, like, stayed in relationships for many years and then it never went anywhere or something. Mm-hmm. So Mark wants a lot very fast, I think, was his main thrust.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. He's like, 6 to 9 months, if we're not moving in, what are we doing? It's like, whoa. And so we did get them dress shopping and suit shopping. The dress she ended up choosing, she was like a deep V cut with like lace on the torso. I liked it. Mm-hmm. And then
very easy to slip out of, apparently.
Right.
Which doesn't hold the vows too well.
Yeah. Right. And then he got really emotional during the suit shopping, because he's just like, he realizes, like, okay, him getting married, this will be, he can show his mom and his grandma, you know, if like his grandma doesn't make it through the year, then at least she was able to see him get married. Because like, I think he said his grandma was like 96 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was feeling sad for him at this point, because it's like he's putting so much into mm-hmm. it. Like,
Mark, he seems like convinced. A really nice guy. He's just getting ready to get just run over.
Like,
yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. So we did get a little segment with Lindsay boxing with, she says, it's Philip, one of her closest family members. And it was just more around like trying to get her mom to come, but her mom doesn't end up coming because this was the one wedding we saw. So we saw him getting ready with his groomsmen, groomsmen, it was four people, but it felt like there were 20 guys in that room because they just had so much energy. It's like, it doesn't feel like four people, but,
They are bros. Like,
right.
Like, again, you look up the dictionary, looking at bro.
Mm-hmm.
Mark and his friends are bros. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. And so when Lindsay was with her bridesmaids, she was like, they were like, is there anything you want us to tell him? And she's like, well, just brush up against him so you can see what I'm working with.
Oh my like, gosh.
Yeah. Just,
well, she constantly says throughout this whole thing, like, I told them that I don't care what he looks like. But then throughout the episode, it's just like, mm-hmm. she's giving these little like, things out, like, I hope he doesn't have this, I hope he doesn't have that, like,
yes,
like, you're gonna be disappointed. Some things that she said on the after party kind of lead me to believe that she was not very impressed.
Oh, Lord.
things like he's got a good personality.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
the kind of
said, stuff like, Rachel was saying, the kiss was like a kiss from a grandmother, like just a
oh.
pass, like.
No. Oh gosh. Yeah, on the way over to the wedding, she's drinking lots of champagne, just glass after glass. And so by the time she got there, she was pretty wasted. Yes. And she didn't have her bowels. They were like, "Where are your bowels?" She proceeds to take the shoulders off of her dress to look at to see if her she had tucked her bowels in and if they were still there, and just exposes herself. All production saw it. All the cameras saw it. She just was loose as a goose. And she burped because she just couldn't keep it down. She's like, "This is my last chance not to be a lady this is my last chance before I have to be a lady." She was just all over the place.
On the after party, she was like, "Well, I had faces on. I just thought it'd be funny." This is what we're working with.
Right. They still had to blur it so clearly.
Yeah.
So she walked down the aisle. He was smiling. She was smiling. It did seem like she was like looking more at the crowd than at him. I don't know if that was like nerves or what. They compare their teeth. They both have nice teeth. her family said like she has no filter. She says what's on her mind. His family said that he's kind and loyal. And then they exchanged vows, and his was more so like, "I've looked all over for you." Then they had a weird situation with the... I guess back to the vows. With him saying, "I looked all over for you," he was naming places. And she's like, "Nope." Him. Yeah, she kept interrupting. Like, "Nope, yeah. I wasn't there. Wasn't there. Didn't look hard enough." I was like, "What?
Yeah.
Can you stop?"
This is not really a call response type of thing. You just let me, are you finish this up?
Just listen.
I had to flow. Like, this is how it was going to go. And now,
right.
I messed up the rhythm.
And then her ring didn't fit. And so, was it the pastor saying, "Pull the skin towards you"?
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know that was a trick.
I'm surprised she didn't come up with some like crass retort to that.
Right.
I did like the pastor. He had a little personality and the really thick Boston accent. So
right. Yeah. Right. And since she grew up Greek Orthodox, they did this little tradition where a guy came up and held like a little halo thing over their both their heads and swapped it back and forth 3 times and then put it on their heads. And then they kissed. So
I do want to say when he introduced himself as Mark the Shark, she goes, "I hate sharks."
Yeah.
Okay. There was an interview there where I don't even know what she was trying to say. But she said Encyclopedia Brown. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
Oh, you guys aren't old enough, probably. It was a kid series like where there's like a kid detective. I just found that really weird that she would say that.
She was calling him that?
I'm not even sure because I think she was just kind of getting her words garbled because she was drunk. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that in there and see if y'all what kind of awareness you were working with here.
Oh, no. No.
I read Encyclopedia Brown when I was a kid, so that got me immediately.
Yeah, that's funny. So then we got to see them after the wedding, meet each other, and like talk. And so he explained how like he works out in the morning so that like he can be at home in the evenings with his family. And she said he's giving her WAP.
Oh my gosh. I groaned so hard. Like, I put my head in my hands. I was like, no.
If you don't know what WAP means, go look it up. There's a song that explains it all.
Go incognito mode first before you look it up.
No. Just Spotify, Apple Music. Just look
it up. Yeah, algorithms are going to be all messed up if you look at it the regular way. Go incognito.
But she loved that. She loved that he was thinking about his family with his workout routine. And she explained that she's a tomboy. She doesn't want any baby talk. And he was like, "Yeah, she has a lot of energy."
Mark is saying this.
Right. Mark the Shark.
Continual ball of energy is saying this about her. And you can tell him, look on his face. It's like, oh boy.
Yes. Right. That's saying a lot. It's honestly saying a lot. She asked her if she was allergic to any pets, and she was like, "Well, just the ones that I own." And so then she finds out he has 3 cats. She has 2 cats. And she's just like, you guys, what? She's like, okay, I'm getting rid of mine. I was like, what? How is that the solution? You're just going to...
That was after she asked him what kind of animal he was. He said a monkey. She said, I hate monkeys. Like, she's constantly hating what this guy is.
Yes. It's not. I just... She just left me speechless. So many opportunities. I just don't know what to expect with her. Like, you never know what's going to come out of her mouth.
Yeah. No filter. And it's tricky because it's like he desperately wants this to work. He's convinced it's like it's the best day of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he's not going to bail easily. So yes, what will it take?
It's going to take a lot.
So here's what I think, right? Like, I think these people, these two are a little bit of a mirror to each other. Mm. And I think if they had to spend time with themselves, like as another person, I don't think that they would find it that cute. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, I think like you like yourself, but you wouldn't like another one of you.
Right. Like, would you date another one of you?
Yeah. And they would never admit that they're like each other, but
yeah.
So I think living with yourself is tough. And being married to yourself is tough. So I don't have high hopes here.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm in the middle. I'm going to give them a 3 because I think it could go either way. I think right now it's a lot, but it could be just the right amount of a lot for Mark. He could love this eventually. So it could go either way.
Oh, okay.
Well, what are y'all thinking?
I was going to do a 2.
Okay.
Just because she had a few positive things to say, even though she was saying WAP, but,
yeah, right.
You know, like she wasn't totally out on him,
yeah.
You know, at the wedding. Like, I think I'm getting influenced by the after party where she just didn't seem like she had a great first impression.
Yeah.
At least physically. So, but it did seem like both of them want to be married. And she did say she was open to anyone physically. So if she sticks to what she initially said, and they can grow in their attraction. But yeah, I think I'm at a 2 just because I think they will clash.
Gotcha. What about you, Jason?
I'm going bottom of the barrel. I'm giving it a 1.
Wow.
And I think that he will, I think he'll actually give up before she will. Oh. I'm going to say that.
I feel like things get ugly. Like, it's going to be really bad.
I think if they get into an argument, she's going to hit below the belt.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he's not going to be with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Poor Mark. He wants this so bad.
Well, third time's a charm, Mark. Third time's a charm. We'll come back to Boston
in 4 years.
We'll see what you're up to.
Exactly.
He'll move to wherever the next city is.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you guys going next?
Right. He's like, it just made sense for me to relocate after the divorce.
It just so happened they came to the city I moved to. I don't know how that happened.
What? Y'all are here. Yeah. Oh man, but those are our 5 couples. I have to tell you, after the matchmaking special I was like, but after this episode I'm really excited about the season. Like, yes. If I think they're going to surprise us, they're going to be entertaining. So I'm excited to see what they have in store for us.
Yeah, I think it'll be not maybe the big dramatics of some of the past couple of seasons. Like, I don't know if it'll be, you know, like a Paige and Chris type of scenario.
Yeah.
Experts have caught on to like certain things that they shouldn't cast for.
Mm-hmm.
So
you do remember that Elijah wants here, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Like that could cause the dramatics. So
well, on this episode. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I just think there's some couples that have maybe more of a shot than we've seen before. And nobody struck me as like so boring. Like, I'm not getting a Brett and Ryan couple, you know, like I don't think there was anyone that was to that degree of Ryan.
Yeah.
Really? I would say Chris and Alyssa are pretty close to that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Chris might have more care, but I think I could see Steve being like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I could see Steve not really, yeah, not sort of being more private, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is it. Guys, we did it. We made it through the 3-hour premiere.
Yeah. I can't tell you how depressed I was when I saw that 3-hour runtime. I was like, come on.
You've got to be kidding me. Yes. Yes.
They know how to milk it. They know how to stretch it out.
Right, for sure.
Listen, I was so upset. I checked. Next week is a 2-hour episode. I was like,
hey. Good.
Like, I was just hoping this wasn't like a permanent thing. Now, like, let's make it 3 hours every episode.
Oh, if they could, they would.
Well, it was really odd for me because I was watching live, but like the later version. And so it, like the episode that aired after like the first airing of the after party was like a shortened version. It was like an hour long, but they made it seem like it was the full episode. So I don't know if it's something they always do, but it showed like part of the, like it ended with the wedding, but it didn't show like the segment of, like it didn't, it shortened everything. Like it didn't have, a lot of the bachelor bachelorette party, and it had like the wedding, but not like them hanging out after the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So they can edit it down.
Right. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, when I recorded the after party was only 30 minutes, but it had recorded a whole hour block. And maybe it was that shortened version that you were talking about, Amy, that they aired right after party. Because it just started the episode again after party ended.
Yeah, that's so weird. Well, this was fun, guys. I am excited to talk through this season. Like we said at the beginning, Jason and I will be recapping it every week. And then, Amy, we'll see you throughout, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching. I want to follow up on my rating. So anytime you want to have me back, I'm there.
Awesome. I'll
say to listen and
and rest.
Hear how you guys are dealing with it.
Right.
Yeah. Amy, thank you for passing the reins to me. I hope to do you proud. Asia, I am excited about our new partnership, but I have to say it's a little rocky start so far because just a couple of days ago, you betrayed me very hard on the Podcaster Mafia.
Right.
You were the one person. You were the other person to nominate me against, as well as a member of the Mafia. You nominated me. I went out and I got voted out.
Went home. Yeah,
you nominated.
I was just thinking. I was like, Jason's too quiet. I gotta get
him. Respect you,
Asia. You don't. It's like you don't know me. That's what I'm upset about. Quiet is
no. I'm like, I know Among Us/Goose Goose Duck Jason. I know that Jason's always quiet. But then always I was like, is this the same situation? Are you trying to play a different game and you're actually guilty?
And I'm not even going to lie to you. Like that whole Mafia game, another reason I was quiet, I had no idea what was going on. So I wasn't following anything. So I was like, let me just be quiet and not say something stupid.
Right,
but then Asia's like, well, Jason must be a mastermind of this game and knows what he's doing. Right. No, I had no idea. Right. I'll just try not to sound stupid.
No, well, yeah, shout out if you have not gone and watched, I would recommend watching it. The podcast version is out too, but I would recommend watching it. It was definitely a fun time. The Podcaster Mafia, Jason and I played in the second game. There were two games. The first game was really good. I watched about half of it and it was really good. So it is the beginning of the month. So it's the best time to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. And there is a patron mafia coming up. So if you love mafia, now's the best time to become a patron so you can play in that. Let's see.
You're both braver than me. I know myself. And I was Amy, like, that's not for me.
Listen, that was my first and last time playing mafia. I will never do that again.
It's hard enough knowing what everything does, but then having strategy on top of it,
Well, having so many people that have played it like so many times that are like whizzing all this strategy by your head, you're like, wait, what?
Yes.
Wait, who did that? Who said that? What happened?
Allie Lasher knew what she was doing. So I was just like, okay, whatever she says, I need to do. So Amy, where can people find you?
Yeah, so as mentioned, Haley and I are podcasting about the new season of The Bachelor. You know, it's The Bachelor's Clayton. It wasn't a casting pick anyone was excited about, but we are excited to talk each week about all the antics that the women get into. So we think we're holding out hope that it's going to be an entertaining season. Based on previews, seems like it will be. Asia, have you checked it out yet?
I have. I watched the episode, liked it more than I thought I would. I enjoyed hearing you and Haley talk about it. So I was like, okay, I'm good for this season. I thought I was going to sit it out, but I'll watch it.
Yeah, and exclusive here, Rob will be joining us next week, I believe. So
I'm going
to force him to watch two episodes of the show. So yeah, follow us on The Bachelor Wrap Up or on Reality TV Wrap Ups. And on Twitter, I'm RHAP Recapper.
Awesome. And Jason, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at JAYR1085. I swear I am not a spam robot. that is my real account name. I've been getting a lot of pressure to find a better name. if you have any suggestions for my better name, let me know. If you want to talk about the show, hit me up on there. We'll talk about it. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Nice. Oh, and then Cobra Kai.
Oh, yes. I was recently on post-show recaps with Josh Wigler talking a little Cobra Kai. I was on two episodes of that, and it's a really fun podcast about a really fun show. So check out the show and check out the podcast.
Nice. I saw that was like number one on Netflix.
Yeah, I should try and bribe Chappelle to put on Nothing But Netflix.
Yeah, you should.
Definitely.
But yeah, everybody, you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Be here talking about Married at First Sight. Recently, I talked about the last season of Insecure. I jumped on, I think it was episode 4 and 6. I jumped on with Mari and Chappelle to talk about Insecure over on Post Show Recaps. And then I also joined Chappelle and Rob over on Nothing But Netflix to talk about Selling Sunset. And so we had a great time. Me and Geneva joined Rob and Chappelle. So that was a great time. I love Selling Sunset. I've loved it since it's 4 seasons, but it came out during the pandemic. So they really spat them out.
They're churning it out.
Yeah.
Like 4 seasons in 2 years.
Right. They really did.
What are they, Married at First Sight?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, so for anything else I have coming up, just shoot me a follow on Twitter. And thanks for sticking with us. I'm excited for this season. And we will see you next week. Bye.